When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's been 5 days of relative soul-searching for the Warriors, although they're not panicking. If you listen to noises coming out of the group, their fans are just starting to get a little bit tetchy, though, I imagine, but that jarring loss to the Dragons, that was one that really hurt in their poorest performance of the season, without doubt. And another injury, too, blow with Kurt Capewell, who's seen such a brilliant signing. He's added to their casualty ward in the pack. So what looked like a straightforward assignment against the Titans not that long ago perhaps is anything but now. Well, Sam's been on holiday with the kids in Niue, and now he's back to run his rule over round 8 of the NRL, because he has to take a serious look at things now, particularly not in our camp, but across the board. Sam, welcome home, and I hope it was cool over there, but it's back to business, and business starts tomorrow for the Warriors at 4 o'clock. You're right, this game to me is anything but a given.
Yeah, great to be back, Smithy, and it certainly wasn't cool. It was really bloody hot, but that's the way that wife and kids like it. So me melting like a popsicle, but it was pretty amazing weather, great place too. Now, as far as I got back late last night, and look, didn't get a whole lot of cell phone coverage and the like over there, Smithy. So I came home and I'm a little bit blurry eyed because I stayed up watching highlights and catching up, because you know that's what us junkies do. No choice but to rip right in. And man, the Warriors' performance is one that is out of character for the last two seasons, really. I know there have been some up and down results in 2023 as well, but it felt like the structure that's held them in contests for so long in game in the games leading up to round 7 kind of just fell apart, and it happens to all teams. Every team eventually slips up in some shape or form, and that was a particularly ugly one, and no one's making excuses for it. It just wasn't up to standard. But the Titans as a team, a couple of weeks ago, this looked like everyone's like, oh God, why do we get the Titans on Anzac Day? Why couldn't we have the contest? Well, I know the Titans haven't won a game, Smithy, but they have been pretty close, very, very close in the last couple of games. They only just got pipped 34-30 by a very good Manly side that the Warriors drew with the week prior. That was their game last week. And then it was Golden Point with a remarkable comeback against the Golden Point lost for them, I should point out, sorry, and a remarkable comeback against the old Raiders. They've played 4 top 8 sides in their 6 games, and outside of that, they got flogged by the Bulldogs, who are down low, but they also lost to the Dragons, who the Warriors just lost to, and they are knocking on the top 8. So they've played some pretty good sides, and they've been improving week by week by week. They are a better side than their 0-6 shows, and teams like that in the NRL, Smithy, they're due a win. They're not far off, and there's nothing. If the Warriors produce what they produced last week, they could be very close to their first win. So I think that the Warriors don't have an easy assignment, as the letter suggests here. They are more than capable of putting away the Titans. They're favourites. They should be favourites, and they should win this game. But it's a stark warning to people who are sitting around going, oh, well, at least they'll bounce back against the Titans. That's not a guarantee. You ask Manly fans, would have felt the same. So had Raiders fans, and they walked away wiping sweat away from their brow. So I'm really intrigued by the contest. I think the loss of Kurt Capewell is just another blow to lose somebody in that forward pack. The amount of talent out injured is certainly concerning, but it's great to get Dylan Walker back. Dylan Walker, the ultimate utility. Do you know, I worked out the other day, Smithy, along with winning a couple of premierships, winning a premiership playing for Australia and representing New South Wales, Dylan Walker has played every single position in a starting 13 and supporting a bit on the bench at NRL level. Every single position. So you talk about utility. Look, you're not going to chuck him at fullback and wing these days. But the fact of the matter is, this guy knows his way around a footy team and can be where you need him to be. He's a real competitor, a real live wire in the team. So I think getting him back with the personnel they're missing is massive. But young Jacob Laban goes into the starting side, and it's good to see Zion Ma'u come onto the bench too. You may remember him as the guy who got who came onto the field in that trial in Christchurch and got marched pretty much immediately for the high shot. Now that he does have aggression in his game, but it certainly it doesn't veer onto to that side too often. Very talented young man that people have been waiting to see get his opportunity, and he is named on that bench. But it'll be really interesting to see how the bench is used this time around, because Andrew Webster didn't use the bench as much as expected when his rotation was thrown out. Now he's had a full week to prepare with what he's got there. They've got three sizable middles in Walker, Ale and Mayu this time, so really intrigued to see how the bench works differently against a Titan side that's got some size to it, and they're certainly they've been showing taking no quarters there, Smith, really pushing it forward. And I've loved watching the return to form of Kieran Foran, by the way, a player who I've got so much time for. So I can't wait. It's going to be special. And as you mentioned, Anzac Day adds so much to this. It's going to be amazing.
What concerns me, and it concerns a lot of people too, I think, is the fact that they're not turning territory. They're not turning a wealth of early possession and momentum into enough points. We've seen that on two or three occasions. Who takes responsibility for this? How can they be better at this?
It's very. I think it's a very fair point to make. I think that the main thing is the that pressure needs to become more powerful. When you've got the teams under pressure and parking them down in their yard, you need to take that next step to making sure they're kicking from very early or feeling rushed with that that pressure. Now, I think Rocco Berry is one of the best kick chase exponents in the NRL, which is why they predominantly hoist the high ball down to his wing to make sure they stay under pressure. But definitely when the opposition have the ball, that defensive pressure that they know that's there. We saw it earlier on the mid part of that season in particular, and certainly what they did against the Rabbitohs, they made sure that their defence was offence. They got in people's faces and they made sure that they were feeling pressure with even when they had the ball. So I think that's crucial. I think as far as option taking, Tamati Martin has had I don't think anyone had a game that is worth shouting from the rooftops about last week. But I think Tamati Martin's been finding his feet pretty well back into first grade after having quite a few injury disruptions over the last couple of seasons. I think that his partnership with Johnson and making the calls on who takes that will be really intriguing. Until I see something that makes me think that the Dragons game was a trend, I tend to feel like it was just one of those games, and to quote Shag, you've got to flush the dunny on it. They need to learn from it. But if they've become crippled by those mistakes they made, that's a major concern. Personally, from what I've seen this season, it felt so out of character that until I see it rear its head again, it feels like a one-off.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so, because I felt that Tamari Martin was slightly anonymous. If I look at the pairings, if I compare the pairings to the Warriors, to the Sharks, who had that early match dominance just the same, the combination and the acceptance of responsibility between Hines and Trindle was light years apart. Yep. So that's just me, and
that's fair.
With my very, very little knowledge. Let's move on throughout the clashes. We've got 9v11, the second game tomorrow night, 6 o'clock game. The Dragons, who you've just talked about, and the Roosters, who sit 11th.
Yeah, this is intriguing. Always a great. This is one of the traditional clashes. They play every Anzac Day and have done for a while. I've been lucky enough to be at a couple of them, and it's a special feeling. It's one of those few games within the season that you know is going to be massive. And even when the Dragons aren't going well, they become competitive in this game. It has something special to it. But the Dragons, well, we know they're going well. After what we saw last week, I think people will be paying quite close attention to see whether they can kick on from there. As my wife pointed out, they're paying $3.75 to make the eight this season now, after looking like they were potential wooden spooners. So, color me surprised. They're coming together beautifully. But against a Roosters side that should beat almost every team on paper, but they've been up and down by the standards you'd expect from a Roosters side, which is very similar to last year, actually, Smithy, where they didn't produce the results that a team with their roster should be able to do. So they welcome back Dominic Young, who's finally back after that high tackle suspension, and Sam Walker, their halfback's back from the concussion protocols he was stood down for. So it's a full-strength backline again, and pretty close to it in the forward pack as well. So there's no reason why I can't expect the Roosters to get up and get the job done. That said, the Dragons have given me no reason to doubt them. Their form over the last couple of weeks, really, again, they're up and down, but I'm kind of leaning towards the Dragons, and I don't know the last time I did that, Smithy. So I think the Dragons side deserve to be favourites. The favourites going into this just on recent performance.
Right, the last game tomorrow night is looks very one-sided. It's 2 against 16. It's the Storm who are really putting together quite a tasty start to the season. And the Rabbitohs, who's the taste in their mouth can be anything but good.
Yes, absolutely. I think that the key here is they get the job done, the Storm. They aren't playing pretty at all times. They're not owning teams and dominating, but they're getting the work done. And certainly if you were playing them and it was a close contest with 5 minutes to go and Xavier Coates gets the ball, mentally you're going to be freaking out, right? This guy has found a way 3 times this season to not win a game single-handedly, but be the X factor that changes that course. So they back themselves. And we talked earlier about the structure for the Warriors. The structure that they have is massive, and that belief will really take them a long way. It would be the upset of all upsets for the Rabbitohs side that we've seen this season to come into Storm territory on Anzac Day, where Warriors fans know is a very intimidating atmosphere, and get the result. So it's got to be the Storm by plenty.
Right, Sea Eagles against the Eels. Now, the way the Eels gave away a lead last week, and not just gave it away, succumbed, it was like they had 4 or 5 guys that didn't run out after half time, and it was like 9 playing 13 at one point. I mean, how do you concede so many points in a hurry when you're taking advantage in at the break? On that, the Sea Eagles win this, surely.
If you know the answer to that, please put your answers on a stamped self-addressed envelope and send it to Brad Arthur, care of Parramatta Stadium, because they are absolutely, they're basket cases this year. They are world beaters and then wooden spooners within the same game sometimes. They're that dysfunctional, but there's so much talent on display there. And you literally, as you described there, Smithy, don't know which Eel side is going to show up right now. I'll take Manly because I just think they're so consistent, and their worst is still good enough to stay in contests and games. So Manly at home against an Eels side that they've had a fair bit of history with on a Friday night, I think that they've got the talent to get it done. Being able to take a virtually unchanged side with just Josh Alloway coming back from suspension after the Sean Johnson charge down. So they're settled. They're looking good. Parramatta could put 50 on them. Who knows? Or they could get flogged by 50. Mm. That's where they're at.
Yeah, exactly right. West Tigers sit at 13 at the moment for Benji. And the Broncos, who welcome back Adam Reynolds and Payne Haas. Who wouldn't want them to come back in? But that's countered by the loss of Ezra Mum and Selwyn Cobbo.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like that new coach smell has gone off the West Tigers, if you know what I mean, where you feel like there's a little bit of energy. I think the Tigers are still performing above what you would expect of their roster and where they're expected to be after some tumultuous seasons. But there will be bright spots that come. But I think that this will be one of those tough games for them. As you mentioned, Payne Haas coming back is a big deal. But Adam Reynolds is their general, and as most halfbacks are. But he is really the litmus for how the Broncos are going to go. Having him in there, Smithy, makes all the difference in the world, certainly against a Tigers side that has glimpses, has moments, and can be in contest. If I was a Tigers fan, for the majority of the season, I'll be pleased, because the team that I've seen getting flogged and looking limp and lifeless for the last couple of seasons is giving it a fair crack on a regular basis. So I'm interested to see how they go against the Broncos, but definitely Brisbane look like favourites and certainties to me in this contest.
The Cowboys were a bit of a non-entity last week against the Sharks. That was very much one-way traffic. And the Panthers, without Nathan Cleary, have managed to hold on to a top-4 berth, as you would probably expect. But now they get him back for this one, which is 9:35 on Saturday night, the last game.
Yeah, look, the only thing that they really, I think there is still a game on the Sunday too, but that's the last of the Saturday games. And The Cowboys have a home advantage, and they'll be hoping for something super humid, super sticky and uncomfortable for the Panthers, because right now the only people to be uncomfortable going to that game will be the Cowboys. It feels like the bubble has burst on what they have. They know how to score points, but the leaky sieve defence that we saw in some of the early stages that their attack seemed to balance out should be a concern for them. Griffin Neame has taken the starting spot with Tomalolo going to the bench. Not to say that where Tomalolo's at with, I don't want to say his career, but certainly his dealing with his injuries and body, his body looking after it to make sure it's up to standard. I think coming off the bench is probably a good spot for him right now. But geez, you know, add Nathan Cleary to that side, and you'd have to be a pretty staunch Cowboys fan to be thinking anything other than a Panthers win here.
Rightio, that takes us, as you say, into two Sunday games, the first of which is a 4 o'clocker, our time, and that is the Dolphins that just go quietly about their work up against the Newcastle Knights. Man, that's third against 15th, and I wouldn't have thought, I mean, they had a great start to the season, the Dolphins, didn't they, last year, then they faded, but they're not showing signs of it just yet this time around.
Yeah, listen, it was kind of around this point that the wheel started to wobble a little bit for the Dolphins, but it shouldn't on this occasion. Not the Knights without Kalyn Ponga, seriously, that's what got them into trouble in the first place last year. That's what, when Ponga came back, they went on that incredible winning streak. He is everything to that side. I'd go as far as to say that he is the most valuable player to pull on that jersey since Andrew Johns, and when he's not there, they've got probably the same amount of chances winning as when they didn't have Andrew Johns. So it would be a monumental upset if this team could go in. And look, Tyson Gamble and Jackson Hastings in the halves, they're not terrible. And, you know, Dave Armstrong at fullback is... He's NRL worthy, but they've relied on Kalyn Ponga so much to get them out of trouble this year. They've been criticised for allowing him to play on with an injury, which now requires him to have, you know, months out of the game. It probably won't stop him winning the Dally M, though, will it? They'll probably just give him every point when he gets back. You might even get points by not playing Smithy with the Dally M. But there is certainly a lot to like about the way the Dolphins are going. And Jeremy Marshall-King is one of my favourite hookers in the competition. Love watching him go. There's so much to feel that this team has got enough to hold on to a top eight spot. It feels like, as you mentioned, slightly different than last year. I don't see them as title contenders. I don't think they're going to get up to that point. But a top eight finish would be a great way to end the Wayne Bennett era. A couple of seasons and into the top eight, you would absolutely sign up for that.
Last game is an interesting one for me. The Sharks had the last game last week too, so they're a nice little break, but... They really did deliver last week, and they showed every reason to believe the fact that they're number one at the moment. They're top of the table. But this clash going to Canberra will be a pretty interesting one. They'll still have a bit of Anzac feeling about it as well. They'll still be remembering at that point onwards. It's a 6:05 kickoff here. The Sharks, I got a question mark over, you said the Dolphins, you don't see them being championship winners. Sharks, any chance?
The Sharks have probably got a higher calibre of team, in my opinion, and that's no discredit to a lot of the great players at the Dolphins. I just feel like they're a bunch of solid players put together, whereas to me there feels like there's more cohesion in the Sharks over the last little while. But Canberra and the Sharks are two sides that love not the physical wrestlers and, you know, getting into the wrestle at the ruck, but just the mental wrestle. They both teams that love to drag you, hold you, and make you uncomfortable. So it could be just an awful game to watch as far as skill set go, but both are perfectly capable of setting the whole field alike. Matt Tomoko, Kalyn Edo in the centres are just a great combination, a great matchup to watch, and so many good finishers on the wing, like Lily Talo from the Sharks, is, of course, the Kiwis' main finisher as well. So there's a lot to like talent-wise there, but I feel like it's going to be a real, just a struggle where they're just, who wants to blink first? But, yeah, listen, the Raiders are more than capable of taking down the Sharks. The Sharks, again, not someone that I'm predicting to be there on grand final day, but they can spoil. Both these teams can spoil other teams' attacking options and plays. It could be intriguing.
Yeah, I think it will. Intriguing round, actually. And it goes from Thursday at 4 o'clock till Sunday at 6:05 in terms of kickoffs. So plenty to talk about there. And, of course, we'll have a review of that on Monday morning when we talk to either Vossi or Greg Alexander about what has happened or what's transpired. We'll take a quick breather here. Sam can take a quick breather because when we come back, he's also on the sports desk for us. It is 10:21.